Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2448 with a release date of Friday, September 27th, 2024 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST, goodbye to the Green Cube satellite. U.S. lawmakers prepare for another vote requiring AM radio in cars, and a pioneering Australian amateur becomes a silent key. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2448 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent, weekly amateur radio news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Picayune, Mississippi, here is Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
Our top story this week is the demise of the Green Cube satellite. It was loved and well used by avid DXers and DXpeditioners, as well as those making more casual satellite contacts. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, tells us what happened.
The popular Green Cube satellite, IO-117, is no longer functioning, the result of what is believed to be radiation damage suffered in medium Earth orbit. The satellite, which is owned by the Italian Space Agency, was developed by S5 Lab at Sapienza, University of Rome. The team attempted to send commands to reactivate the orbiter earlier this month after it suffered a communication blackout, according to a report by the AMSAT News Service. S5 Lab is not optimistic that Green Cube can be restored to service, acknowledging that high radiation exposure can be an issue in a medium Earth orbit. They added that it was unclear whether Green Cube would have a successor. The AMSAT report also stated that Green Cube is not the only medium Earth orbit satellite that's been affected by radiation levels. It was, however, the first satellite in medium Earth orbit to carry an amateur radio payload. S5 Lab and AMSAT Italia expect to hold a webinar about Green Cube's mission, which it said exceeded all expectations the team had for it when it was launched in July of 2022. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
In Washington, D.C., public safety legislation awaits an important vote. The proposed law would require all passenger cars sold in the U.S. to continue to make AM radio available. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, has that story.
The U.S. House of Representatives is expected to consider a measure that mandates AM radio in all new cars sold in the U.S., whether they are manufactured domestically or imported. The bill, known as the AM Radio in Every Vehicle Act, moved to the full floor for lawmakers' consideration following a 45-2 vote in the House Energy and Commerce Committee. Observers say the House vote could happen as early as the next few weeks before the U.S. elections take place in November, or it would be delayed. The U.S. Senate version of the bill has already been approved by that chamber's Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee. It still awaits a full floor vote, but has a majority of lawmakers supporting it on both sides of the aisle. The issue of AM radio's necessity in vehicles has escalated the debate over public safety, as proponents, such as the National Association of Broadcasters and federal emergency officials, have advocated in favor of retaining AM radio for its public safety role, especially when carrying alerts in rural areas. Some manufacturers of electric cars are looking to eliminate AM radio from their vehicles, claiming that RF interference from their car's electronics systems compromises AM radio reception. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
After a few years of struggling with membership issues, a New Zealand group for YLs has dropped its formal operation. We hear the details from Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
New Zealand Women's Amateur Radio Operators Group has ceased to exist. After attempting to survive some troubled years, the organisation's executive committee voted in 2020 to go into recess, citing a lack of support from the membership. According to the website of the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters, the group's creation in 1962 arose from a need to address special requirements of YLs at a time when very few female licensees were on the air. An announcement in YL Harmonics, the bi-monthly newsletter of the YLRL, confirms that the group will exist now only for social purposes and will retain its call sign ZL6YL. Nairi Dury, ZL2UJT, wrote in the newsletter that a vote was taken to continue with social activities without any fees. The new group has adopted the name the NZYL Group. This is Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
NASA astronaut Sunita Williams, KD5PLB, has taken the helm of the International Space Station as its new commander as she and fellow crew member Butch Wilmore await their return to Earth in February 2025. The pair's mission aboard the ISS was supposed to last only 8 days following their arrival via Boeing Starliner, but complications with the spacecraft delayed their departure, and Starliner returned to Earth crewless. By the time the duo returns home aboard a SpaceX Dragon capsule, they will have been in space 8 months. This is Williams' second time as commander of the ISS. A notable pioneer who helped create the IARU Region 3 organization has become a silent key. We hear about him from Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Having secured his amateur license in the wake of World War II, Pete Williams, the former VK3IZ, wasted no time in immersing himself in service to the amateur radio community. By the late 60s and early 70s, he was devoting his efforts to the Wireless Institute of Australia. Casting his eye more broadly, he also joined with a small team of other Australian amateurs to propose and establish Region 3 of the International Amateur Radio Union. As a businessman, Pete and other radio colleagues co-founded the Vicom Company, importing ICOM radios and other ham radio products. A lifelong fan of radio restorations, Pete paired that talent with his love of military communication technology, especially the legendary Collins R390 receiver. He restored and resold many of them over the years, along with the S-Line and other models. With his hearing and eyesight posing challenges later in life, Pete let his license lapse a few years ago. The call sign he had held for more than 70 years was acquired by another amateur in 2023. Pete, who became a silent key Saturday, September 14, was 94. Roger Harrison, VK2ZRH, editor-in-chief of Amateur Radio Magazine, told Newsline that a longer article about Pete and his life will appear in that magazine's next issue. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
If you're hoping for an easy contact with Wyoming for any number of awards, you'd better act fast. Patrick Clark, K8TAC, tells us why.
In case you're one state shy of worked all states, and in case that one state happens to be Wyoming, look no further than the W7Y special event. The Shy-Y Amateur Radio Club has organized this annual event, which it calls Come and Get Wyoming. Whether you're a DX station or here in the U.S., if you need a Wyoming contact on a specific band or a certain mode, this is your chance. Hams throughout Wyoming have been volunteering at least an hour of their time since the 21st of September to make sure as many contacts can be made before the event ends on Monday the 30th. QSL details and a little history of the W7Y special event can be found on QRZ.com, why there's still time. This is Patrick Clark, K8TAC.
If you're an avid space weather observer, this report from Cell MB, KB3TZD, is for you.
Scientists and amateur radio operators are proud to announce that a member of the HAMSCI scientific team has released a research paper that delves into the development of a low-cost magnetometer system permitting coordinated space weather monitoring. The author of the paper, Dr. Hyomin Kim, Ph.D., KD2-MCR, is an assistant professor of physics at the Center for Solar Terrestrial Research, a component of New Jersey Institute of Technology's Institute for Space Weather Sciences. The paper is a key example of how HAMSCI's work melds the world of professional research with the activities of amateur radio operators. A magnetometer measures changes and anomalies in the magnetic atmosphere of the Earth. For a link to the paper, see the text version of this week's Newsline script at arnewsline.org. This is Selembi, KB3TZD.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the WM9W repeater in Chicago, Illinois, on Tuesdays at midnight local time during the Nightcrawler's Net. The APRS Foundation is encouraging hams to become members and help keep the dream and hard work of a prominent silent key alive and thriving. Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, tells us what membership is expected to accomplish.
When Bob Bruniga, WB4APR, became a silent key in February of 2022, he left behind the legacy of the Automatic Packet Reporting System, APRS, which the pioneering amateur had developed. The APRS Foundation was formed later that same year to ensure that APRS would be preserved and advanced so it could continue its vital role enabling real-time tracking over the amateur frequencies. Hams are now able to support the APRS Foundation by becoming members. The $20 membership helps with the foundation's operating costs and assists in the continuation of Bob's work. The foundation also encourages participation online in APRS at groups.io and the APRS Special Interest Group email reflector. The Foundation's president, Jeff Hochberg, W4JEW, writes on the Foundation website that continued engagement of amateurs will help APRS out of what he describes as a precarious position. Jeff writes, quote, "While there are undoubtedly thousands of APRS users worldwide, the number doesn't seem to grow as it used to," end quote. For more details about the Foundation, visit APRSFoundation.org. This is Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
If you enjoy amateur radio direction finding, Chelsea, Michigan is the place to be for you in early October. Dave Parks, WB8ODF, tells us why.
Yes, there's a trophy at stake here. It's known as the Paul Bunyan Trophy. But this Transmere hunting contest is not just for fun. The 12th IARU Region 2 23rd ARRL USA Radio Orienteering Championship engages skills that are useful in spectrum management, search and rescue, and animal tracking, among other applications. The hosting group is the Southern Michigan Orienteering Club and the Ham Radio Clubs throughout the southeastern part of the state. From the 5th to the 13th of October, competitors will venture out into the woods in search of hidden transmitters in the Chelsea, Michigan area for an intense period of radio orienteering, also known as amateur radio direction finding. A training camp will be held before the event, led by top radio orienteers Charles Sherlaw in Z0I and Nadia Sherlaw, KO4ADV. The training camp will take place on the 5th and 6th of October, and beginners are welcome. The event director, Joseph Burkhead, KE8MKR, says on the competition's website that no matter where you're at in your journey in radio and navigation sports, there will be challenges for you. For details, visit the website radioorienteeringchamps.us. That's radioorienteeringchamps, one word, .us. This is Dave Parks, WB8ODF.
In New Zealand, two telegraph offices are springing back into action to demonstrate the best of a bygone era. Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, gives us those details.
Although the date may be the 26th of October 2024, it may just as well be in the era of steam train travel, as on that day, ham radio operators bring telegraph offices back to life on the Glenbrook Vintage Railway. It will be Labour Weekend, but it will also be Morse Code Day, as visitors ride the steam train between Glenbrook and Waiuku, and learn how messages can travel efficiently too, ham radio style. Visitors at Glenbrook will have an opportunity to have Neil ZL1NZ and Paul ZL1AJY send a telegram to Waiuku before they get on board to travel to the other station. Upon arrival at Waiuku, visitors may collect their telegram and send a reply via operators Martin ZL1MDE and Peter ZL1PX. The Franklin Amateur Radio Club is hoping to cultivate an appreciation for what was once the main form of radio communication back when steam trains ruled the rails. This is Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
In the world of DX, listen for special event station GB2ZL in Scotland, operating CW from the 1st to the 28th of October, marking the centennial of the first amateur radio contact between Great Britain and New Zealand. The actual anniversary date is the 18th of October, 1924. QSL via Logbook of the World only. See QRZ.com for more details. Dale, W4AUV, and Bob, K4RLC, will operate from St. Kitts, IOTA number NA104, from the 1st to the 12th of October. Dale, operating as V4-W4AUV, will be using mainly CW on 40 meters. Bob, using the call sign V4-K4RLC, will be operating QRP-CW on 20 meters from the island's three POTA sites. QSL via Logbook of the World. Expect to hear Gunter, DK4WH, on the air from Namibia as V51WH until early November. Gunter is operating from a farm near Omaruru. Listen for him on 160 to 10 meters, including 60 meters. He'll also participate in the CQ Worldwide RTTY and SSB contests as V55Y. See QRZ.com for more details. Fred, DH5FS, is operating holiday style on various HF bands as E6FS from Niue, IOTA number OC040, until the 30th of September. QSL via his home call. And our final story takes a look at eyeball QSOs, those in-person visits we love so much, True, there are no QSL cards, but there may be other benefits, as we hear from Randy Sly, W4XJ.
It's no secret that amateur radio can be good for your health. The Radio Society of Great Britain and the UK's National Health Service teamed up at the height of the COVID-19 pandemic to launch Get on the Air to Care, a program to decrease social isolation and improve mental well-being as hams reached out to hams to check on one another. Only a few years later, Grouper, a wellness advocacy company here in the U.S., has partnered with the ARRL with a somewhat similar intent. While the ARRL has always encouraged lots of QSOs, Grouper encourages, indeed, Grouper actually rewards, lots of eyeball QSOs. Think of this program as a way to care while you're off the air. Originally founded as Element 3 Health, the Boston company's recent name change to Grouper reflects its accelerated desire to help people achieve so-called social fitness through in-person interaction. Grouper says it is tracking the health crisis of social isolation and loneliness, formally declared to be an epidemic last year by the U.S. Surgeon General. The ARRL Grouper partnership, in this case, focuses on older radio amateurs who are enrolled in Medicare under either the Medicare Advantage or one of the Medicare supplement plans. Eligible hams 65 and older who can prove they are active in in-person amateur radio activities may have some of their dues and other activity costs covered under the program. The ARRL said in a press release that it hopes the new program will, quote, enhance the health of ARRL members by providing access to benefits that support staying active and engaged, end quote. It also shows that not all lasting connections made in amateur radio are necessarily only ones that have been soldered. This is Randy Sly, W4XJ.
Don't forget the Amateur Radio Newsline Haiku Challenge. If you're not too busy tuning your antennas or chasing the latest de-expedition, pick up a pencil and share your experience by sending an original haiku to us here at Newsline. Use the entry form on our website, arnewsline.org, and please follow the rules for writing your three-line haiku. Sorry, but we cannot accept any entries that aren't written in traditional haiku form. Share with fellow listeners the poetry that is inspired by your ham radio experience. With thanks to Amateur Radio Weekly, AMSAT News Service, APRS Foundation, ARRL, Australian Communications and Media Authority, David Behar, K7DB, 425DX News, Grouper, NZ Net Newsletter, QRZ.com, Radio Orienteering Championship website, the Radio Society of Great Britain, Roger Harrison, VK2ZRH, shortwaveradio.de, YLRL Harmonics, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW in Picayune, Mississippi, saying 7-3. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2024. All rights are reserved.